And today's New Testament reading and focus passage is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Okay, so who in here has been on the other side of the door waiting for the person to come through? In other words, you were in on the surprise party. Who's been in on the surprise party? About all of you, right? We've all been a part of a surprise party. So who has been the surprisee? Who's come through the door and experienced a surprise party? Good number of you. I think probably all of us, if we live long enough, might end up being a part of a surprise party. They're very similar, and they cause us to act in maybe stranger ways than we might at other times, right? You saw it in the video. You see people in a certain state when they walk through that door and see everything going that you would not see them in before, whether they faint, whether they scream, whether they go crazy or laugh harder than you've ever seen. Surprise parties are different. Of course, they're all the same. We gather in a closed room. A few minutes before the party starts, before the guest of honor, whether it's someone who's had a birthday or someone who's maybe recently retired, there's all kinds of surprise parties. We gather behind closed doors and wait for them to enter. Sometimes we turn off the lights, we close the windows, because we don't want them to know anything until they step in the door and hear all of us yell, "Surprise!" So the guest of honor is given some kind of a story and led astray, right? "Hey, can you stop by my house with me? I need to pick up something." You know, we try to come up with a good story that helps them not suspect anything's about to happen. "Hey, could you, I've got to get something out of the church fellowship hall. Could you come down and help me carry it out?" We do our best. I think sometimes we probably are a bit obvious that a surprise party is coming. Prior to the arrival, you set up cakes, you set up gifts, and you anticipate that person coming through the door with a surprise, a scream, maybe a faint. You just never know what's going to happen. When that door opens and a group of people yell "Surprise," you flip the lights on, you just don't know what's about to happen. Now imagine for a second a reverse surprise party, where the people gathered in the room will be surprised by what comes through the door. Imagine the people in the room are there gathered together, believing it's just a routine meeting. Maybe it's a particular gathering, and they think nothing special is about to happen. There are no gifts with the gathered people. The gift is outside the door, about to break in. Instead of the person outside the door who was overwhelmed and surprised and acting strangely, it's the people inside who will begin those strange acts, maybe fainting, becoming excited, maybe speaking or yelling in strange voices that you've never heard before. What's most strange is that a surprise that happens again and again and again and again isn't really a surprise anymore, is it? In other words, the person and the gift that comes through that door will still never cease to surprise. In other words, imagine a reverse surprise party that happens every time you gather. And it's still a surprise each and every time. The day of Pentecost, in many ways, is a reverse surprise party for the church. In those early days, on the birthday of the church, the people were gathered in a room, not anticipating a lot. And we are those people behind the closed doors, somewhat in the dark, expecting routine, expecting not much other than our usual gathering. We're sort of left to ourselves, and yet year after year, the Spirit bursts through the doors of our church and surprises us and empowers us for our work, doesn't it? Year after year, we have this surprise party. And maybe I shouldn't say year after year. Maybe I should say Sunday after Sunday when we gather in this place, we expect the Spirit to burst in and to surprise us. Even in a fairly regularly planned where the order remains mostly the same week to week, the Spirit can still surprise us. Today's Pentecost celebration is a reminder of the surprise that we experience day by day, week by week, in following Jesus Christ. There is nothing dull or entirely predictable about following Jesus, because we know that the longer we are together, church, and the longer we continue to follow in God's ways, to follow Jesus and to expect God to do great things through us, the more surprises that will come down the road. And so in today's scripture, we have people who were gathered in one place as the church for a routine celebration. The routine celebration called Pentecost or Shavuot. It was a Jewish holiday called the Festival of Weeks. It was a fairly routine celebration. Year by year, this would occur. And before they knew it, anything but routine came about. The sound of a mighty wind, tongues of flames that separated and landed on each of them, filling them with the Holy Spirit and allowing them to speak in many different tongues, tongues of all sorts of languages occurred. They were gathered for that routine gathering, and the surprise came through the door in that gathered place. They thought that nothing special was going to happen, or at least were not led to believe they did. And yet the Spirit breaks in. It was mysterious and strange and indescribable that those around them wondered what in the world was going on. There was only one explanation, right? Too many mimosas. It was only 9 a.m. in the morning, after all, right? It was only in the morning. But Peter knew better. Peter, after not always getting it, was able to put two and two together. Peter recalled the words from Joel, words about God's Spirit being poured out on all the people, the recipients of that Spirit prophesying and sharing the word of the Lord. Peter knew what was going on, for it had been prophesied and foretold. And Peter was able to make sense of this indescribable event. Words about God's Spirit poured out on all people. The recipients of that Spirit prophesying, sharing the word of the Lord from that day forth, and not just prophesying, but going forth in a new way. The old people were dreaming dreams. Old people don't often dream of the future, and I don't say that in any kind of disrespect. That was part of the irony of the situation. If you've lived most of your life, it may seem there's nothing left to dream about. And yet, at Pentecost, the old men were dreaming dreams. And the young people were seeing visions. Young people don't get visions. They're too young. They're too raw. They're too green. They have nothing to offer the world. But at Pentecost, at the coming of the Holy Spirit, the young people received vision. This was the moment when the gospel of Jesus Christ was set forth through God's people by the Holy Spirit and unleashed with power, creativity, pervasiveness, amazement, excitement, surprise. It was truly the ultimate surprise party that would be repeated year after year. When you have a surprise party, especially when you're the subject of a surprise party, do you kind of enter every other birthday thinking, I've been here before. I know what to watch out for. Have any of you been the subject of more than one surprise party? Do they just hope that you maybe forget about years prior and that it never happened before? I think most of us would remember a surprise party, right? It's kind of burned in your brain. And yet, the church, we are to not just remember the surprise party, but anticipate the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So what can we anticipate again and again? If we know this story of Pentecost, if we are familiar with and understand that the Spirit is on God's people, what do we have to look forward to if we know what's coming? Well, first of all, we can anticipate God's Spirit to break in and surprise us year by year. Today we finish a worship series called The Unexpected Acts, which we began on Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday, the greatest unexpected act, the greatest surprising act of all, the empty tomb, set us forth into this sermon series on the book of Acts, where because of the empty tomb, people are able to experience the unexpected acts of Christ regularly. In our daily life, in our weekly life, God does unexpected things through us and through the church. God is in the unexpected acts business. Pentecost is a culmination of those unexpected acts, but God has been doing unexpected things in our lives and in the Scripture before Pentecost, before Easter. For instance, God surprised Abraham and Sarah with a child when they were not supposed to have one. Jesus surprised Peter when he told him to cast his nets on the other side, and Peter had already done that. And Jesus surprised him with nets full of fish. The woman who had been bleeding for 12 years and probably never anticipated stopping touched Jesus' robe and was healed, surprisingly healed. And perhaps the greatest unexpected act, the body that had been hung on the cross and buried with the stone rolled on top, was raised to new life on the third day. So I ask you, church, why are we surprised when God shows up and reverses our circumstances? Isn't it something that we should joyfully anticipate for our future? Does the church have any place in this world of being doom and gloom? Absolutely not. We have things to look forward to, and God will surprise us in ways we can't even imagine. I do think we can have it both ways, though. I think that Pentecost is a reminder to never forget that we will be surprised. God will do things in our church that we can't possibly imagine. And even though we know surprises are coming, we can still be in awe when they come. We can, on one hand, say we anticipate that God is going to do great things in this place, and at the same time say, wow, I didn't see that coming, when God does work. First Baptist Church, the Holy Spirit has surprises in store for us. Would you like to hear what they are? No, because I don't know them, or they wouldn't be a surprise. I don't know what they are, but we are challenged to anticipate those things. Is it too late for us to dream dreams about what God's going to do through us? Are we too small, or are we too old to have visions about the work we will do? Is it impossible for us to speak and act and to testify and to prophesy about the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his teachings, his healings, the compassion he showed in the scriptures, but also to us? Is it impossible or too late, or are we too young, or are we too old to tell of his sacrificial death that in the eyes of the world was defeat, but for us meant the forgiveness of sins? Can we still speak of that in exciting new ways? Can we tell of the empty tomb and the hope of a new creation and resurrection, even though we have heard the story time and time again? By ourselves, no. If it's just left to us, no. We won't be able to tell those things. We won't be able to do an adequate job. But the scripture today tells us we are not alone, and we are not left to ourselves. For we have been given an advocate who is with us and who speaks through us when we don't think we have the language or we don't have the words. The Spirit is there to speak through us in ways we didn't know we could speak, or ways we didn't know we could testify. Pentecost Sunday is also about the freedom to share the gospel, for God has empowered us to do so. And so we must ask ourselves, what binds us from doing that even more? What restricts us from sharing the gospel more today than we did yesterday? Could it be that destructive phrase, we've never done it that way before? Could it be fear in the face of a rising non-religious world, or the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E, around us? Could it be a desire to focus so much on ourselves and our business that we can't see the work God is calling us to do outside these walls? Today is a celebration of the church's birthday. A birthday is never about wrapping it up, is it? When you celebrate a birthday, not only do you remember your past and previous birthdays, but you anticipate another good year, many happy returns. And so I guess this is where I give my happy birthday speech to you, church. Happy birthday. Imagine I'm toasting you with a cool glass of Diet Coke. We weren't there the day of your birth, but we sure have read about it. We read that it was unexpected, at least the timing was. There was rushing wind and tongues of fire that fell on you. We wish we could have been there to see it. All the people that were around you when you were born, there in that delivery room, as maybe we can call it, began speaking in different languages. It was weird, so weird that everyone else in the waiting room thought you were drunk and the cup didn't have Diet Coke, it had something else in it. What seemed weird to them was the perfect example of what you were born to do. You were born to spread the good news to everyone in surprising, unexpected, perhaps even uncomfortable ways at times. Not just in that crowd, not just with people just like you. You were born to tell the good news to everyone in every language, every setting, and every culture. And so here you are today, going on 2,000 years old, thinking about the days since you were born. You've had some rocky years along the way. You've had some times where you've made some seriously bad decisions and you've made mistakes. But through it all, one thing that has not changed is the fact that the Holy Spirit has been with you every step of the way. Church, remember your birthday. Remember where you came from. And may your remaining years, however many they may be as healthy and exciting as the day you were born, for the Spirit is still with you. Let's pray together.